return, realizing that our joy and comfort is in the Scriptures, to this passage. And it was given away back then as a comfort to grieving saints. And we know that it is a wonderful word for us, even in our time too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. Of course, that's the day of the Lord. That's the day of Christ in his coming. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are off the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his holy word, even now, for his name's sake.
We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians 5, again, just a few verses at the start of the chapter, just to refresh our memories. I want to speak for a little while this morning as we continue our series, Living in Light of the Lord's Return, speaking this morning upon what is called in Scripture the Day of the Lord. So we'll read just the first four verses of chapter 5. Of 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And we'll just end at verse 4, and we know God will bless the reading of his word. It's wonderful to see many back this morning who have been away on holidays over the summer, and one or two who haven't been well in recent days back in fellowship with us. this morning. Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer as we seek the Lord in these moments, that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and lives. Father, again we stand in awe of the majesty of Thy Word. We feel, O God, so unable and so unworthy in and of ourselves even to open this book, let alone speak upon it. But our sufficiency is of God. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We thank Thee for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who inspired this book and who is able to open our hearts to it. We pray, O God, that as the psalmist prayed, that Thou wilt open now our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We pray for the help, for the illumination, for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon preacher and hearer alike. Hide us behind the cross. Glorify Thy Son. Speak, Lord, to those who do not know Thee. Draw them to Thyself savingly. And may this be a very special day in the history of this congregation. May it be a blessed day in the life of some precious soul who will respond to God's word and God's call and enter into newness of life. Thy word, Lord, encourages us, exhorts us to be ready. And we thank Thee, Lord, for those who, even over the last number of days, have gone home to be with the Lord. And there was a time in their lives whenever they responded to the call of God. We pray today that there might be a similar response in hearts this morning. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it all in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, as we open a new chapter in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul continues the theme that he has taken up in the previous chapter, that is, events connected with the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The focus in the first four verses of chapter 5 is that of the day of the Lord. Verse number 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now the Bible speaks often about the day of the Lord. And whenever the Bible speaks about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament and in the New, it seems very clear that the phrase the day of the Lord has special reference to the judgment that will be ushered in with the coming of the Lord upon this present world and upon this present age. That is the judgment of the Lord upon the ungodly. It seems to be something that's very closely related to the phrase, the day of the Lord in Scripture. For example, in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Word of God says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse number 6 says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Verse 9 of that same chapter, Isaiah 13, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The day of the Lord. The book of Isaiah speaks about the day of the Lord often, as does the book of Joel. Joel 1 and verse number 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty it shall come. Chapter 2 of Joel, verse number 1 says, the day of the Lord cometh, it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. And so it goes on, Joel, Isaiah, Malachi, Zephaniah, and many others in the Old Testament spoke about the day of the Lord as being like unto a day of judgment. We have read about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, and we have taken a week or two to think about the death of the Christian, the death of the righteous, the coming again of Jesus Christ to the air, the resurrection of the saints, rising up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord, and the wonderful comfort, the wonderful hope, the wonderful assurance that the doctrine and the promise of Christ's second coming brings to the child of God. Jesus Christ is coming back again for the Christian. And what a glorious day that's going to be for all who know and love the Lord. But the Bible also makes it clear that He's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. Acts chapter 17, 31 says, God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alive forevermore, is coming back not only to receive us unto Himself, but by and by He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. And that is often referred to that day of judgment as the day of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. The day of the Lord is coming. And one of the great features and one of the great themes in this great book that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica is the necessity of watching, waiting, working, witnessing, and being ready for the day of the Lord. Being ready for the coming again of Jesus Christ our Lord. Living in light of the Lord's return. We have mentioned that Paul, in some manner or other, in all five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, speaks about the last day, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the return of Christ. The visible coming again of our Savior. And He's encouraging the church in His day, the church in our day. This is something we need to be watching for, waiting for. Something we need to be living in light of. I wonder today, are you living in light of the Lord's return? As the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, as the day of the Lord is at hand, I wonder this morning, are you really ready? Not just asking you if you're saved, converted, born again of the Spirit of God. That's absolutely fundamental imperative. But as a Christian, are you living for the Lord? Would you be quite content for the Lord to come back today? Would you be ready? Or would you blush at the coming again of the Lord? Jesus Christ said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I believe here that Paul brings that sense of urgency and that sense where the world is not watching and waiting, and he reminds the church that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. As we think this morning upon this great subject, the day of the Lord, there are four things that I believe Paul bears out very plainly and unmistakably in these opening verses of the fifth chapter of his first letter to the church at Thessalonica. The first thing I want you to think about for a few moments is the discernment of the saints. The discernment of the saints. Look at verse number one. But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Verse number two. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Verse number four, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Paul is writing to a people here that are well instructed, well informed, about the coming day of the Lord. He says, as I write to you, I have really no need to write to you because you know perfectly that this day is coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. And you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And then he says in verse number 4, you're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief, because he knows I'm writing to a people that have got spiritual discernment. Whenever Paul was with the church, these believers at Thessalonica, and they had come to know the Lord, he had declared the gospel to them, he shared the word of God with them, there's no doubt at all that Paul face to face instructed these believers very clearly, very plainly, unmistakably, about the coming again of Christ and all that would come with it. And so they were well instructed. And as Paul now writes to them, he writes to people that he knows are familiar with the things that he's speaking about. And they're well informed. They're well instructed. And they're not in darkness. They're not living in ignorance. They know something about the times and the seasons that they presently are living in. They're familiar with the spirit of the age in the first century church. And they're also familiar as to the times and seasons and the signs and the times and the spirit of the age that will usher in the great and terrible day of the Lord. Paul had not left them in ignorance. Paul had spoken to them face to face. And whatever Old Testament scriptures they had, and whatever knowledge they had of the Savior's ministry, they have taken that on heart as well. They've studied it out. They know what they believe. They're not in ignorance. They're people that are marked with discernment. And now Paul is writing to them this letter. And as they have studied this letter, the first 4 chapters, although there were no chapter divisions in the original letter, those were put in after, but everything that's recorded up until the end of chapter 4 in our Bible, they've studied it out. And so they are people that are marked by discernment. Verse number 1 speaks about their doctrinal instruction. They have been instructed as to the doctrine of the Lord's return. He says, I have no need to write unto you. He began this section in verse number 13 of the previous chapter, which speaks about the death of the Christian, the resurrection at the last day, the coming again of Jesus Christ, and now the day of the Lord. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 4, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And neither are we to be ignorant of the day of the Lord and the coming again of Jesus Christ. And we're not to be ignorant as to what happens to a child of God whenever they leave this scene of time and they go out into eternity. These things are written for our counsel, but they are also written for our comfort. We are to be informed on the basis of God's word as to what will happen whenever Jesus Christ comes back again. We're not to be ignorant of these things, but rather we are to be instructed and well informed. We are to understand something of the times and seasons, brethren. We are to understand something of the spirit of the age all around us, all of the darkness and all of the departure and all of the disobedience and all of the depravity that we see manifested in these last days. We are to be instructed and informed, and we are to understand something of the times and seasons and what's going on in the world at this present time. You know, the people outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, they don't know what's happening. And there's so much confusion in the world around us as men and women depart from the Word of God and embrace sin and legislate for sin. And there's confusion and spiritual and moral anarchy all around us. But the child of God is to be instructed. We are to understand that these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We are to understand that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We are to understand that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are to understand that in the last days, there will be a great falling away and the man of sin will be revealed. These are things that we are to be instructed in. Paul's last letter was 2 Timothy, and he wrote to Timothy, the young pastor, and says, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Timothy, you need to understand what the Word of God teaches in all of these areas and in all of these things. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:20, in understanding, be men. And sometimes we shy away from these great truths because of excesses and errors in different places and extremes. But we are to understand, we are to have spiritual discernment as to the age in which we are living in. Paul says in verse number 2, for yourselves know perfectly. He's not writing to a people that are ignorant. He's writing to a people that are instructed, a people that are informed, a people who are convicted about these things. He says, you know perfectly well, brethren, that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. So there's doctrinal instruction in verse number 1. And then there's practical application in verse number 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. But Paul's writing and saying, you know that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming, but you know that he's coming. And Paul's encouraged, therefore, that you're living in the light of the coming again of Jesus Christ, living as if Christ died yesterday, rose again today, and is coming again tomorrow. You see, the whole field of eschatology, the study of the last things, is not given to us in the Word of God merely to satisfy our curiosity. But the Bible unfolds these great truths so that we might first and foremost be comforted, comfort one another with these words, and we might be counseled to live a God-honoring life. These things are recorded in the Word of God to promote readiness and to promote holiness amongst the people of God, living in light of the Lord's return. And that's exactly what the believers in Thessalonica were doing. They were living in the light of these great truths, that this troubled and broken world, with all of its sin and strife and woe, it's not our final home. We're pilgrims and we're passing through. They want to be caught up when Christ comes back, not caught out and not caught on. So Paul here writes about the discernment of the saints. And I'm sure we're all instructed to some degree or other, and we all know that Christ is coming back again. We've all been given that instruction and information in the Word of God, but have you discerned it in your heart to be true? Do you know that Christ is coming back again and the day of the Lord is at hand, and are you ready? So you've got the discernment of the saints in verses 1 and 4. And then in verse number 2, you've got the description of the subject. Now, the subject that Paul is dealing with is the day of the Lord. And Paul describes the day of the Lord as coming like a thief in the night. Yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. There's the description of the subject. Peter in 2 Peter 3:10 uses very similar language, and he says, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. John in Revelation 16:15 records the same thing, that the Lord is coming again as a thief. And as far as the world is concerned outside the church of Jesus Christ, that's exactly how the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to come as a thief in the night. Now, if a thief is coming to your home, how does a thief come? A thief comes uninvited. I don't think any of us put a big sign up on her driveway or in her front garden, thieves welcome. And you tell people we'll be out of the house between 8:30 in the morning and 5:00 in the evening, and we go out certain nights during the week, and thieves are welcome. The door's open. Come on in and help yourselves. Thieves are uninvited guests. We don't want thieves to come. We don't invite them. But nevertheless, they come. And so it is with the coming day of the Lord. It's going to come as a thief in the night. The world, they're not inviting the Lord to come back. They're not inviting them to come. They don't want them to come back. But the Lord nevertheless is coming. I remember a fellow that I grew up with. And he had left home one day to go into town with his mates. And he had put a sign in the front door for his mother. And it said, "Mum, the key is under the mat." And he thought this was a real good thing. "I'll hide the key under the mat. But just in case Mum doesn't know where the key is, I'll put a sign up. Mum, the key is under the mat." He was inviting thieves to come. Anybody seeing the sign in the door knows, well, I'll get the key. Remember somebody saying to me once, you know, if you've got a set of house keys or car keys, you know what's a good thing to do? Put a little key fob on it with your name and address. And that way, if you lose them and somebody finds them, they'll know when to bring your keys back, where to bring them to. And you might even want to put on the other side of the key fob when you're in the house, just so they'll know to call whenever you're in to get you. That's inviting thieves, isn't it? And the day of the Lord's coming is a thief in the night. Coming uninvited as far as the world is concerned. But nevertheless, he's still coming. And the thief comes not only uninvited, but a thief will come unannounced. A thief does not announce his coming. A thief does not say, well, I'll be with you on the 5th of September, 2021, between 11:30 and 12:30. That's when I'm coming. A thief doesn't do that. He comes unannounced. And many people down throughout history, especially in many of the modern day cults, have tried to predict dates whenever the Lord will come back. The Seventh-day Adventists have done it. The Mormons have done it. The Jehovah's Witnesses have tried to predict the Lord's return on several occasions with pinpoint accuracy. 1914 and so on and so forth. 1939 and so it goes on. But they never learn the lesson that if that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The coming again of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, will be uninvited and unannounced. We know, however, in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse number 20, that the Lord says, "Surely I come quickly." And the word "quickly" there means suddenly. In the twinkling of an eye, in a moment of time, Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. He's coming back uninvited. He's coming back unannounced. He's coming back unexpected. Thieves don't ring you up and make appointments. Have you ever had a thief ring you up, the local cat burglar, and he rings you up or sends you an email and says, "I'm operating soon in the Lisburn area. I've got your name and address here. I'm just wondering when the best time would be if I could put a slot in. I'm busy in Finnickey, I'm busy in Dunmurray, but I'm coming to your area soon, and I'm just wondering, would it be convenient for me to come and rob your house?" They don't do that. They don't make appointments. They come unexpectedly. Whenever you're not watching and you're not expecting, that's whenever they come, and it's always a shock whenever a thief comes. I hope it never happens to you. If it does happen, it's always something that's unexpected. And at the end of Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 24, that great prophetic portion of God's Word, when the Lord speaks about the signs of the times and is coming again to this earth and is coming again for his people, at the end of chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord tells a parable. He tells a story. He brings it all to application. And he says, "Watch ye therefore," in verse number 42, "for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up." If you know when a thief's coming, you prepare. If you know that a thief is coming or might come, but you don't know when he's coming, you'll still try to be ready. You'll lock your door. You might have security cameras up. You might have a burglar alarm. You might go and buy a big dog. You might put a fence up and lock your gates. You might even have a security light I remember years ago a man came to our door one night to try to sell us one of these security lights. I think most people have them nowadays, but this was a way back whenever nobody had them and this was a state-of-the-art thing. And a man came to our door. Dad answered the door. He says, "I'm trying to sell security lights." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, for example, if you're sleeping in bed and somebody comes to the house to steal your car, a light will come on. Or maybe you're out and a light will come on." Dad says, "If somebody wants to steal my car when I'm out of the house or I'm sleeping," he says, "they can do it in the dark." He says, "I'm not putting a light, having a light come on for them, making it easier for them. That puts a different slant on it." He says, "They can steal my car, they can do it in the dark. I'm not going to help them." But we have all of these things because we are often conscious that thieves can come. So we try to be ready because we know that they come unexpectedly. Noah's day and generation, we're told a flood's coming. The Lord's coming in judgment. They were told, but they didn't know when it would happen. And whenever the first signs of rain came and the fountains of the deep began to be opened up and the earth began to convulse, it was unexpected. They didn't believe it. They never thought it would happen. And so this world of ours is not expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And if the sun now was to be darkened, and the moon was not to give her light, and suddenly there was a sound of a great trumpet, and the dead in Christ arose from their graves, and the Lord descended from heaven with a shout, the world would not be expecting that. And it would be caught unready, and it would be caught unawares. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The day of the Lord will be uninvited, unannounced, unexpected, unwanted. The vast majority of people in this present world do not want Jesus Christ to come back. They don't want the Lord to be part of their lives. They're like the people of the Lord's day. Whenever he was here in the flesh, they say, "We will not have this man to reign over us. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Take him away. Crucify him. Have done with him. Get rid of him once for all. Get rid of him forever." And they would do exactly the same if the Lord was here now. They don't want the inspired Word of God. They don't want the incarnate Word of God. They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want the truth. That's why they close the Bible. That's why they deny the Bible. Even in the churches, the Word of God opened and read, and the Word of God brought to God's house. It's wonderful to see people coming to God's house with God's Word in their hand and sitting in God's house with God's Word open before them. I heard a preacher the other day, and he said he was preaching in America in an evangelical church, and he says it's amazing that a bottle of water for some people is more important than the Bible. People will come to church with a bottle of water, but they will not come to church with the Bible. It's so vital, it's so important to have the Word of God open before us, but this world doesn't want the Bible because they don't want Jesus Christ. They have made void his law. And they don't want them to come back and interrupt their lives on this earth and call this world to account. The discernment of the saints, the description of the subject. Notice something else in verse number 3, the deception or the delusion in society. For when they shall say, peace and safety. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. There will be an air of confidence in the world, an air of safety in the world, despite all that's going on, all of the craziness, all of the immorality, all of the strife, all of the war, all of the sin. There will be an air of safety in the hearts of men and women. Look at our world today. It's going crazy. And yet they're still talking about peace and safety. They have no thought about getting right with God. Whenever all this pandemic started over a year and a half ago, people, Christian people, well-meaning, said this will turn people to the Lord. By and large, it's done the opposite. And our world leaders never talk about the Lord. They're talking about all sorts of other things. And they're talking about bringing in safety and bringing in peace and all that goes with it. And it'll be just the same whenever the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes back again. Man, in spite of all of the craziness that's going on in the world, will be deluded enough somehow to think that all is well. And I think Antichrist will have his hand in this. This great man, this satanic superman, will have all of the answers that the world is looking for. And they will have their trust in him. The Bible says the world will wander after the beast. Here's a man that's brought peace to the Middle East. Here's a man that's brought unity to all of the world's religions. Here's a man and the world is wondering after him. And here's the man who at last has brought the peace and the safety that the world for generations has been looking for. There's going to be a global aspect to this deception. Jeremiah and his great prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 14 says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I shall visit them, shall they be cast down, saith the Lord." And that's like a foreshadowing of the day of the Lord. Peace and safety. Healing the hurt of the people slightly. Saying, peace, peace. But really, there's no peace at all. And there's going to be a globalist agenda in the last day. Antichrist is typified in the king of Babylon. You remember the infancy of Babel in Genesis chapter 11? A kind of a one-world society. We're all coming together and we're building this structure. We're building this kingdom. It's going to reach right up into heaven. It's the spirit of Lucifer. And the Lord's going to bring it all down. Babylon will fall. I believe this world is ripe for such a system. I believe it's coming together. There's going to be a global aspect to this deception. There's going as well to be a spiritual aspect to this great deception. They will say peace and safety, not only globally and financially and politically and militarily, but spiritually as well. Peace and safety. Isn't that just the cry that goes up nowadays? You attend funeral services, it's all peace and safety. Everybody's going to heaven. It's always far better for those that have gone, whether they're saved or not. Everybody's going to a better place. Everybody's resting in peace. Everybody's at rest. It's better for them. Now it's good for them to get away. They're not suffering anymore. It's all peace and safety. No such thing as sin. No such thing as judgment. No such thing as the wrath of God. No such thing as guilt or condemnation. Peace and safety. And then the day of the Lord comes. Not only is there a global aspect to the deception and the spiritual aspect, but also an eternal aspect, no afterlife. How many people now have the idea that we eat, we drink, tomorrow we die, and you just die like a beast in the field, and that's it. There's no afterlife. Or if there is an afterlife, it's all peace. It's all safety. Everybody's going to heaven. The Indians, the Native Americans talked about their happy hunting ground. The Buddhists talk about their paradise, their nirvana. The Muslims talk about their heaven. The nominal Christians talk about their heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. There's no hell. It's peace and safety. But then, when they are saying peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. So you've got the discernment of the saints. You've got the description of the subject, the thief in the night. You've got the deception in society. And then lastly, you've got the destruction of the sinner. Verse number 3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now many preachers nowadays endeavor only to speak about things that are positive, only speak about things that are encouraging, only speak about things that are soft and palatable and comforting, all of the easy portions of Scripture for us to accept. and embrace and be happy about. But Paul the Apostle spoke with 100% honesty. So much instruction, so much comfort, so much exhortation, so much to comfort and encourage the child of God. But he also spoke about this day of destruction, sudden destruction, the day of the Lord, coming as a thief in the night and bringing in destruction upon them. Do you see there the suddenness of the destruction? Then cometh sudden destruction. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The thief comes suddenly. All of a sudden he's there. He's at the door and he enters in. He's there suddenly. And so it is with this day of the Lord. It's going to come suddenly. Sudden destruction cometh upon them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9 speaks about, verse number 8 speaks about in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And did you notice in chapter 5 and verse number 3, sudden destruction cometh upon them. Who does it come upon? Well, according to chapter 5 and verse 3 of the first letter Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, it comes upon they that say peace and safety. The religious leaders, the blind leaders of the blind that are looking for this peace and safety, this world peace. Sudden destruction comes upon them. Chapter 1 of the second epistle says, it comes upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder today, have you obeyed the gospel? Now, we are to believe the gospel, yes, but the gospel is something to be obeyed because it brings claims. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. And you obey the gospel by trusting Christ and turning from your sin. And if you haven't trusted in Christ and you haven't turned from your sin and you haven't been converted, and you haven't been saved, and you don't know God, and you don't know Christ, because this is life eternal, John 17:3, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You're going to be subject to this sudden destruction. And when the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, you're going to be in the receiving end of God's judgment, if you're not ready. The suddenness of destruction. You'll notice another little thing in verse 3, the simile of destruction. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Whenever a woman's expecting a child, she carries that child in her womb for a number of months. And then as it comes close to the time of delivering that child, there's discomfort that sets in. And then there's the birth pangs that set in. And then travail sets in. And then ultimately deliverance. And you can see those things in Matthew 24. The signs that the end is near. Just as a woman discerns that she's with child. And then there's the birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows. And then as well, there's the travail. And I believe as we look at our world, we're seeing the beginning of sorrows. These things that must come to pass. Paul uses this simile. And then lastly, there's the sureness of their destruction. It says they shall not escape at the end of verse number 3. It's sure. It's sudden. It's real. It's coming. They shall not escape. There will be those who, according to Revelation chapter 6, will call upon rocks and mountains to fall upon them and to hide them. But nobody will be able to run. Nobody will be able to hide. Even concerning the Christian, the child of God can say like Hagar, thou, God, seest me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising, my going out, my coming in. Thou tellest my wanderings. He knoweth the way that I take. He knows our thoughts afar off. And he who sees right into our hearts will surely know where every man or woman or boy or girl is whenever this day of the Lord comes, and they shall not escape. You know, there are many questions in the Bible. Many of them have answers, but there's one question in the Bible that has got no answer. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall they escape If they neglect so great salvation, it's a question that's got no answer. How shall you escape? The Bible says they shall not escape. There's no way to escape. There's no answer. There's no way. There's no how you'll escape if you neglect so great salvation. I wonder today, are you ready? The day of the Lord's at hand. Christ is coming back again as a thief in the night. The Bible says, be ready. How can you be ready? By receiving God's so great salvation, so great in light of the need, so great in light of the cost, the Savior's lifeblood upon a cross, so great in light of its accomplishment, so great in light of its provision. A wonderful Savior, a wonderful salvation, so great in light of its availability, so great in light of its freeness, so great in light of its certainty. And God offers you this salvation afresh this morning. The Savior who lived, the Savior who died, the Savior who rose again, the Savior who's in glory right now, present in our midst right now, invites you to come before He comes. He invites you to come. And you can receive this so great salvation. But you, verse number 4, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Believers stand in contrast to the ungodly. The child of God is not in darkness. The child of God has been translated out of nature's darkness and into God's marvelous light, dwelling in the light of day, a new day, a day whenever we know Christ as Savior. I wonder today, are you ready? I wonder, would you like to be ready? If you're not ready, why not come to the Lord today? Why not trust Him now, even before the meeting draws to a close? Why not go home and seek the Lord? Why not speak to somebody this morning, myself, Dr. Douglas, or somebody else? There's many here would love to pray with you and point you to the cross. Young lad, his dad was going away on a business trip. He says, Dad, when are you coming back? He said, Son, we'll be back in the autumn. When's that? He says, well, son, you look around you, look at the trees. They're in bud now. During the summer months, they'll flourish, they'll bring forth fruit, they'll blossom, the leaves will be green. But you watch those leaves and you watch those trees and you'll see the leaves beginning to change color. And then they will start to fall from the trees, and as they're falling, that'll be the sign that your father will be back again very soon. I can't give you the day, I can't give you the hour. But you watch, and those will be the signs. And you'll know that your father's coming back soon. Now, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but as we look around us, surely it must be the breaking of the day. Our Lord's coming back again soon. Let's live in the light of His return.